a very powerful song because it helps me to see that in the midst of everything that goes on in my life, I have a guarantee from God Himself that He would take care of me on the other side. But you know what I've learned about God? He takes care of me on this time side of life. If I surrender my will and do what He commands, He has promised that He would take care of everything else. Matthew chapter 6 and round about verse number 30, He says, if I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these other things shall be added unto me. What other things? Well, if you back up into the text, round about verse number 19, He said He'll feed me, He'll clothe me, and He'll put a roof over my head. And I don't know about you, that gives me some confidence on this time side of life when it seemed like life is pretty bad. Amen. How many of y'all think life is pretty bad? You don't have to raise your hand, I know. Because if your face could tell the story, amen. And if I could read the face, I didn't think that life must be really bad. But I'm learning, church, that when you surrender your will to the will of God, you know, God takes care of everything else. You know, I may not live in a mansion, but I'm living okay. I may not have the best of clothes, but I look okay. Haven't missed name meal. Notice when I say name meal. Unless I desire to miss a meal. What an awesome God we serve. A God that looked down the cord of time and realized that man needed to be redeemed. In John chapter 14 and round about verse 1 and following, songs like, Oh, I Want to See Him, reminds me so much of what God has done for me. And even in the midst of everything that goes on, God has a place prepared for Stan. Amen. I don't know about you, but I know I got a place prepared for me. And when that time comes, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have never told you. And church, and I've learned how to put my name on the door of the mansion. Amen. I've learned how to put my name on it. You know how I've learned? By doing what He commands me to do. In the midst of everything that goes on in the world, my God is first and foremost in my life. And I try to keep Him there. Does that mean I do everything right? Most of the time. Y'all laughing, but until you decide that you're going to do better, guess what? You won't do better. And I've learned that as children of God, God has blessed us so much that He only requires two things. Love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Love thy neighbor, how? As thyself. And I'm learning that when I like me, I don't have no problem with you. Amen, Walls. But if I don't particularly like me, well, you know the story. I'm going to have a problem with you. But that's not the lesson for this morning. My lesson is taken out of Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, with the title, Only Jesus Can Give You Perfect Rest. Amen. And I've learned that in the midst of everything that I've tried on this time side of life, nobody can give me rest like my Jesus. I'm learning that no matter what transpired, that when I cry out, Abba, Father, He takes time and He listens to me. Amen. And He listens to me in such a way, and I listen to Him because His word teaches me what I need to do. And so on this time side of life, in the midst of everything that goes on, I'm not like most people. I stay motivated. I stay encouraged. You know why? He's promised me eternal salvation. He forgave me when nobody else would. Amen. And so since He's forgiven me, guess what I did? I forgave myself. I don't care how much you did. I don't care how much you say. God has forgiven me. And so I've learned to forgive myself. Do you realize what kind of weight that is? Look at what this text says. Jesus here offers an invitation to everyone that is willing to accept Him. This invitation comes with a price. The price that He paid was His blood. And I'm so thankful that He was willing to pay the price that I know good and well that I couldn't pay.
The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. That's why, church, I don't condemn myself. If God sent his Son not to condemn the world, why would I condemn myself? That's why I can be happy 24/7, no matter what transpires, because I know who's in control. And when he's in control of me, guess what? Boy, I'm learning how to laugh in the midst of trials and tribulations. I'm learning how to be happy because I realized something on my time side of life. I'm just passing through. That's right. I know one day I'm going to stand before Jehovah. And I'm not worried about what you say. I'm worried about what he will say to me. In Luke chapter 6 and round about verse number 46, Jesus says, why would you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? And I'm learning I'm going to keep God's word, because in the final analysis, when I stand before the judgment seat, I'm going to be judged according to what's written in this book. And I don't know about you. I'm expecting to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter into the joys of the Lord. I don't know about you. That's what excites me on this time side of life, to know that the God of heaven could look down the court of time and see this old sinful man stand and say, stand, because I love you so much. I'm going to forgive you of all of your sin. Some of them, Lord, not every single one of them. And you know what I'm going to do? Colossians chapter 1, round about verse number 13, the Bible says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. Wow. You need to understand something about darkness. See, when you harbor stuff in your heart, you're in darkness. When you walk around as if you have no hope, you're in darkness. I don't know about you. He delivered me from me.
All right, now.
You know my worst enemy? Well, I thought it was you. Oh, yeah, I thought it was you for a long time. Amen. But no, I've learned that the problem wasn't you. It was me and my lack of understanding what God commands me. Paul says, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. When he forgave me, guess what, church? I forgave myself. And in the process of that, I understand what this invitation is all about. This invitation here is not for everyone, but it is for everyone.
Right.
See, because to accept this invitation, you got to be willing to do what God says.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 16, around about verse number 24, Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Jesus, wait a minute now. I'm going to follow you. I got to give up me, yes. Why? Because you don't know what you're doing. You ever done something and you thought you had it all together and you just knew good and well, you knew what you were doing?
Yes.
And then it wind up you didn't know half of what you were supposed to be doing?
See?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're looking at me funny. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 10 and round about verse number 23, oh, Lord, I know it's not in man to walk up, to direct his own footsteps. You don't even know how to walk right. So what makes us think that we can do this without God? See, church, that's why I know that if we do what God says to do, boy, life is beautiful. Life has a meaning. Peter says, he that will love life and will see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that it speaks no guile. Peter says, if you want to have a happy life, learn how to take a checkup from the neck up.
Okay.
Amen. And I'm learning that when you check yourself, you ain't got to worry about checking me. Because the problem ain't me. Amen, Walls. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden. Anybody here heavy laden this morning? You don't have to tell me. I know that if you live on this time side of life, you got some problems.
See?
You can have all the money in the world. Amen.
Amen.
You can be the most beautiful thing in the world. You can dot all the I's and cross all the T's. You still gonna have some problems.
Yep.
That's right. And so Jesus here is pleading with us. As he gives this invitation, he's pleading for every one of us If you want to follow me, I know you're heavy laden. Oh, yeah. You go to work from sunup to sundown to get a piece of paper that carries a lot of weight. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about, but the rest of you don't. I'm back asleep. I'm talking about that almighty dollar. It's amazing what a dollar bill will do to a person. Amen. It'll make a woman sell her precious body. It'll make a man lie, cheat, and steal for a small piece of paper. And you know, it even cause us to lose our very soul if we're not careful. That's why the Hebrew writer said, Hebrews 13:5, keep yourself free from the love of money. Be content with such things as you have. For God has said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. So with confidence we say, the Lord is my helper. Who's your helper this morning? God's my helper. Amen. What am I worried about? Nothing. Oh, some of y'all, I can read the voice. Some of y'all saying, yeah, you lie. No. No. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1. For if this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, Paul said, I'm not worried about it. I have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. I'm not worried about tomorrow because I know who holds tomorrow. And if you know anything about God, when you do things his way, he says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make even his enemies be at peace. Well, that's who I serve. I don't know who you serve, but I serve such an awesome God. And I've learned to accept this invitation because sometimes Sister Harmon don't know what I'm going through. Sometimes my kids don't know what I'm going through. And sometimes I don't even know what I'm going through. See, that's honesty. But I do know that if I keep my hand in the hand of the man from Galilee, everything is going to be all right. And so he says, come unto me all that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Church, I've tried a lot of stuff in my lifetime. Amen. Not proud of any of it. Because I thought that I had the answers to a lot of the keys. But I found out that I know very little when it comes to doing what God commands. And so he says, take my yoke. What kind of yoke y'all got this morning? Y'all ought to smile. Because if Christ is your yoke, boy, you ought to be happy. But I understand if you're bogged down with the cares of this world. I understand if you're bogged down with sickness. I understand if you're bogged down with everything that's going on around you. But I'm reminded of who you serve. You serve an awesome God. The psalmist said in Psalms 121 and verse number 1, I will look toward the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from God. I don't know where your help comes from, but my help comes from God. So in the midst of my weariness, in the midst of my loneliness, in the midst of not knowing which way to turn, Jesus says, come unto me and I will give you rest. How you gonna give me rest, Jesus? Well, you gotta get your thinking out of the way. Remind me of Brother Dalton, stinking thinking. You know, sometimes we think we're all right. Amen. And when we're not. Jesus says, take my yoke and learn of me. Well, what kind of yoke do you have, Jesus? I gave up the riches of heaven to come and hang on a tree that you might be the righteousness of God. I left the King of Glory, came down, so you could be called the child of the Most High God. Oh, and when I stop and think about that, it just gives me shields. That knowing that God saw fit to send his son for me. And see, and if it ain't personal, you won't do anything. I'm learning that this relationship that I have with God is second to none. This relationship I have with God is such a loving relationship. It teaches me how to love my wife. Amen. It teaches me how to love my children. It teaches me how to love you when you might be unlovable. Amen. See, and that comes with the relationship of knowing who's really in control. He says, take my yoke and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. In this lesson text here, Jesus offers an invitation to all that will obey him. This invitation is designed
to help you and I on this time side of life, in the midst of all of the trials and tribulations and all of the uncertainty, that God is always in control. No matter how dim it might be, no matter how dark it might be, there's one thing that I know for sure, that my Lord and Savior is always in control. And I'm learning that when you allow Him to be in control of your life, life takes on a whole new meaning. This is an invitation that He offers to everyone that is willing to obey Him. The Hebrew writer would say these words, Hebrews chapter 3 and round about verse number 15. While it is said, today if you will hear my voice and harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. In this text here, Jesus says, when you hear his voice. And guess what this morning? You know whose voice you're hearing?
Jesus.
You hear Jesus' voice. I'm just a mouthpiece for the master. I'm just here to remind you and to warn you that you're not here by accident. You're here because God wants you to come out of darkness into this marvelous light. And so he uses me as a mouthpiece to encourage you, to remind you, and to invite you to this invitation that in the midst of everything you go through, there's always hope because my hope is not centered in me. It's centered in the Lord. Jesus offers this invitation of rest. He offers an invitation of peace that surpasses all understanding. In Philippians chapter 4 and round about verse number 6, Paul writes these words to the church at Philippi to encourage them, to remind them, and to let them know that in the midst of everything that goes on, keep your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee, and guess what? God will give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. How can you be at peace in a world that doesn't even know what the word really means? Let me show you what Paul says. Philippians chapter 4 and round about verse number 6. Listen to these words. Paul says to the body of believers, be careful. One translation says, be anxious for nothing. How anxious are we in a world in which we live in? You don't have to tell me, I know. See, because I'm the type of person who wants things done 2 days ago, not yesterday, 2 days ago. I want to hurry up and get it over with so I can get to the next phase. But see, Paul here, as he writes to the believer, he reminds the believer, don't be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You ever ran ahead of God?
Yes.
Huh? Ever ran ahead of him?
Yes.
And what did you do? Messed it all up. And then you have to sit still and wait for him to catch you, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. How do I know? Been there. Done that. Got the t-shirt to prove it. Amen. Amen. Paul says to be careful, be anxious for nothing, but in prayer with supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And look what God will do in verse number 7. And the Bible says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Now I know what this text is talking about. He says he'll give you rest that where men will just not understand. How is it that you can be at peace and everything around you is falling down? See, if you trust God, if you keep him where he belongs in your life, you'll be just like David was. David messed up on many occasions, but David understood what God required of him. And so in the midst of everything that David did, right or wrong, David understood who was in control. That's why when you talk about Psalms 23, you got to really understand what David is saying there. He's not talking about death. No, David is talking about the Lord is my shepherd. What do I worry about, David? Nothing. Why? He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me. And the question this morning is, who's leading you? Who's encouraging you in your Christian walk? Paul says, and the peace of God which surpasses understanding shall keep your heart. One translation says, it will guard your heart and mine through Christ Jesus. How do I get to that point? Well, verse number 8 says, finally, my brethren, there are some things you got to do. I'm learning in order to take the yoke of Christ, there are some things I got to do in my everyday life. I got to first and foremost surrender my will to the will of the Father. Then I got to understand what God truly requires of me. John chapter 4 and verse number 24, God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I'm learning that in order for me to have a joyous life on this time side of life, I have to do something about how I live my life. And I'm learning that when you surrender to God and take his yoke, man, he says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. And I'm learning that the only way you understand that is to understand what transpired on Calvary. A couple quick points. Message is yours. To learn about the yoke of Christ, one must be willing first and foremost to obey from the heart the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and round about verse number 1 and following. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul would write these words to the church at Corinth. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach to you, which you also have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I have also received, how Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scripture. It is the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When I believe that, and I obey from the heart, Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, God adds me to the body, which is the church. But what do I need to do in order to get there? I'm glad you asked me. You got to hear God's word. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Do you believe that this is the inspired word of God? John chapter 20 and verse number 30. Many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe, and believing you might have eternal life. The Bible says one must repent of one's sins. Luke 13, 3, 13, 5. Tell you, nay, except you repent, you'll perish. Then the Bible says one must confess that he is the Son of a living God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. That confession is an ongoing confession for those of us who have obeyed from the heart the gospel. That means every day of my life, I confess that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. You haven't been confessing? That's sin. I just thought I'd drop that in. And then the Bible says one must be buried in water for the remission of one's sin. Contrary to popular belief, baptism is the key to one's salvation. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, there's an antitype that saves us now, namely baptism. Not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. And when you are baptized for the remission of your sin, guess what God does? He adds you to the body, to the church. I couldn't put you out if I wanted to.
No.
Because it don't belong to me, and guess what? You can't put me out. Amen, walls. Acts chapter 2 and round about verse number 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. He puts you into the body of Christ, which is the church that he gave his blood and his body for. Colossians chapter 1 verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 22. How do I learn of Jesus Christ so I can ease my burdens? Well, church, it requires a constant diet of the Word of God. It requires you to study, to meditate, to make sure that when someone is speaking, they are speaking as the oracles of God. In John chapter 5 and verse number 39, Jesus says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they that testify concerning me. The Bible is about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross to reconcile you and I back to his Father. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and around about verse number 17, Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And I like that. Boy, I like that. You know why I like it? I don't care how much dirt you dig, I'm a new creature. Oh, yeah. And that's what excites me, church, to know that the God of heaven can take an old, wretched sinner like me and forgive me of all of my sins. All right. So you tell me I can't have compassion on the woman on the street? You tell me I can't have compassion on the drug addict, on the thief? Oh, yeah. Y'all quiet. Why you quiet? Maybe you don't have that kind of compassion. Then maybe you need to go back and revisit the Lord and Savior. Because, see, when you really understand something about Jesus Christ, boy, it's a whole new mindset. The Bible said he so loved the world, he gave the very best. What do we give him in return? Huh? We give him when we feel like it, don't we? That's not part of the lesson. Let me move on. Finally, Jesus offers this invitation to come. This invitation is for all that are willing to deny himself and to take up his cross and follow Jesus Christ. This invitation comes with a price. The price was paid on Calvary's cross. The price that you and I have to pay is be willing to surrender everything for the cause of Christ. And in doing that, Christ has promised he'd take care of everything else. And I guess that's what drives me. That's what motivates me. To know no matter what transpires, the God I serve is always there. He's always able to take care of everything that comes along. You know, he may not come when I want him to. But you know what? He ain't never late. He ain't like us. Amen, Walls. And finally, one needs to develop the mind that Christ had in order to really accept this invitation. Philippians chapter 2 and roundabout verse number 5. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and he's given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. I'm learning in order for me to really accept this invitation, I have to put aside what I think it's all about. I'm learning that this invitation is an open invitation to the world in which we live in. And for those of us who are members of the body of Christ that have obeyed from the heart the gospel, we need to understand that this invitation here is an invitation for you and I to go out and seek and save the lost. Right. This invitation here is an invitation for you and I to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. James chapter 1 and round about verse number 25, James says, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. How do you stay unspotted? Keep your mind in the book. And I'm learning that when you put your mind in the book and you put your mind on earthly things, guess on heavenly things, you don't have to worry about nothing. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your mind, set your affection. See, our mind is on everything but Jesus. Amen. Amen. How do I know? I'm guilty. And I have to remind myself that in the midst of everything that goes on, God is still in control. Amen. And when I've realized that he's still in control, then that's when my mind can take a change. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. For you are dead and your life is hidden in Christ Jesus. I don't know where you hide your life this morning, but my life is in Christ Jesus. Right. That in the midst of everything I go through, I'm confident, I'm reassured, that no matter what transpires, the God I serve said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Boy, I haven't had a guarantee like that in my life. Sister Harmon promised she'd be with me until I leave here. But you know what? I need somebody that can take me beyond the grave. All right, now. And I only know one person. And that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The way you come to Jesus is you got to have a regular diet of the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. Verse 16 says, avoid foolish and unlearned questions, because all they do is gender strife. The psalmist said in Psalms division 1 and verse number 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season. His leaves also shall not wither. And whatsoever he does, he shall prosper. But the ungodly is not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. And that's what motivates me. God knows my way, and he ought to know your way. That's right. Somewhere down the line, this thing has a meaning to us. I don't know about you.
I know one day I'm leaving here. And when I leave, you don't have to worry about me. But I'm going to live my life according to his word. I may not be perfect in your eyesight, but your eyesight don't have a heaven or hell to send me to. Amen. The only one I'm concerned about is the man that holds the world in the hollow of his hand. Hope I said something this morning to encourage your heart. I want to encourage us as members of the body of Christ. We have some work to do.
That's right.
There are some folks that are lost that need Jesus Christ. The world we live in needs to know that in the midst of all of the controversy that's going on, you can find God's people.
That's right.
Excited.
Amen. Amen.
Happy.
Amen.
Motivated.
Amen.
Enthused.
Amen.
Showing love that just drips.
Amen.
But somewhere down the line, we make the difference, but there is no difference. I've learned that. I've learned that in my neighborhood, I make the difference. I learned in my household, I make the difference. And when you understand that you make the difference, guess what? There will be a difference in everyone you come in contact with. Those of you that are visiting this morning, I want to encourage you. You've heard God's word this morning. The question is, do you believe it? And if you believe it, are you willing to surrender your will to the will of the Father? I know in a world in which we live in, there's a whole lot of uncertainty. But I know of one thing that's certain. You are going to leave here. And in the process of leaving here, God's going to judge you. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27, it is appointed unto man once to die. After death comes the judgment. And I don't know about you. I don't want to take no chances. I want to live the way he commands me to live right now. So when he do close these eyes, he can dispatch the heavenly pallbearers to take me to the other side. And see, and it's stuff like that that motivates me. Oh no, I'm not afraid to leave here. Don't get me wrong, I'm not in a hurry. But if he happens to call, I'm ready because of all of the pain and suffering that we face down here. But even in the midst of that, Jesus said, if you take my yoke, I'll make things easy. When a man's ways please the Lord, he'll even give him the desires of his heart. Boy, what promises do we have that come from the word of God? If you're here this morning, whatever your need might be, let it be known as together we stand and sing.